This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Organizing from the Inside Out, the foolproof system for organizing your home, your office, and your life. Written and read by Julie Morgenstern.
Okay, so you've been trying for years to get organized. You've bought tons of books, clipped magazine articles, even taken an occasional workshop. You've enviously looked through the pages of organizing catalogs, the aisles of hardware stores, and the pristine environments of organized friends and colleagues, aching for the perfect answer to the war against clutter. You've spent countless dollars on a myriad of baskets, bins, sorters, racks, hooks, calendars, and cubby systems you were sure would put your life in order. You've even stayed home from picnics, parties, and dates to attack your clutter by applying the organizing credo, when in doubt, throw it out. Yet, for all your efforts, you never seem to quite cross the finish line. You experience a moment of relief, a flash of promise, but maintaining the peaceful bliss of an organized space remains out of reach. Before long, the clutter is back, and chaos is reigning once more. You are suffering from a condition I call the yo-yo organizing syndrome. Just like yo-yo dieting, no matter how far along you get, you always end up slipping back and are forced to start from ground zero the next time you gather your willpower. Frustrating, maddening, overwhelming, demoralizing, whether you are mildly or wildly disorganized, getting organized can often seem an impossible task. But is it? Absolutely not. The frustrations you experience trying to get organized are not the result of some innate inability. I contend they are due to your never having learned how to organize. It's not a subject taught in school. As a result, you have developed quite a few misconceptions, beliefs, and ineffective techniques that are standing in your way. The goal of this audio program is to radically change your thinking and approach to the organizing process. It will challenge all of your previous ideas about getting organized and cast light on what has been holding you back. It will show you specific techniques to make any organizing project simple, manageable, and attainable. A complete re-education, Organizing from the Inside Out, teaches you how to work with your personality rather than against it. You can listen to this program many times to master the fundamental principles of organizing anything. The days of yo-yo organizing are over. You are about to discover how gratifying and successful organizing can be. Those of you listening to this audio program probably fall into one of three groups. One, you've struggled your whole life to get organized and have never quite succeeded. Two, you used to be organized, but lost your grip somewhere along the way. Or three, you feel basically organized, but are constantly looking for ways to improve your skills and systems. Whichever group you fall into, one thing is true. You want quick solutions. You don't have much time on your hands and need to become better organized swiftly so you can get on with your life. You don't want it to take forever, because organizing is only a means to an end, to live your life more fully. In 1989, I created Taskmasters, a full-service organizing business for homes, offices, and everything in between. Since then, hundreds of clients have called me when their own attempts at getting organized have failed. It's not easy for them to make that call. They are embarrassed and afraid. Their biggest fears? That theirs is the worst clutter problem I've ever seen. That there is little I can do to help, and that it will take years to dig them out, if it can ever be done at all. They can't imagine where to start and can see no light at the end of the tunnel. Clients are always amazed that, one, I am neither shocked by nor pessimistic about what they show me, and two, I can quickly map out a plan of action. How am I able to do this? Because over a decade as a professional organizer has taught me that there is a simple, reliable method that works every time, no matter how formidable the task. Organizing from the inside out demystifies the organizing process by teaching you that formula, the same one I use with my clients. I promise it will help you win the war against clutter forever, just as it has helped them. You will discover your own power to get organized, stay organized, and bring out your own personal and professional best. You will actually come to enjoy the organizing process, because once you understand how simple that process can be, you will gain a sense of liberation and power you've never known before. Part 1, Laying the Foundation. A new way of looking at organizing. If I asked you to describe an organized space, what would you say? From most people, I hear things like neat and tidy, spare, minimalistic, and boring. But an organized space has nothing to do with these traits. There are people whose homes and offices appear neat as a pin on the surface. Yet inside their desk drawers and kitchen cabinets, there is no real system, and things are terribly out of control. By contrast, there are many people who live or work in a physical mess, yet feel very comfortable in this environment and can always put their hands on whatever they need in a second. Could they be considered organized? Absolutely. Being organized has less to do with the way an environment looks than how effectively it functions. If a person can find what they need when they need it, feels unencumbered in achieving his or her goals, and is happy in his or her space, then that person is well organized. I'd like to propose a new definition of organization. Organizing is the process by which we create environments that enable us to live, work, and relax exactly as we want to. When we are organized, our homes, offices, and schedules reflect and encourage who we are, what we want, and where we are going. Misconceptions about organizing. Misconceptions affect the way you think about any process, poisoning your attitude toward it and eroding even your best efforts to succeed by convincing you before you start that you're bound to fail. Here are four of the most common misconceptions about organizing and the facts that will change your thinking. Misconception 1. Organizing is a mysterious talent. Some lucky people are born with it, while others, like you, are left to suffer. Fact. Organizing is a skill. In fact, it's a remarkably simple skill that anyone can learn. How do I know? Because I was once a notoriously disorganized person myself. From the day I was born until I had my own child, I lived in a constant state of disorder. I was a classic right-brain creative type, always living in chaos, operating out of piles, spending half my days searching for misplaced papers, lost phone numbers, and missing car keys. I was one of those people who never planned more than 1 minute into the future. As a result, I was always scrambling at the last minute and frequently didn't get things done on time, either because I forgot I had to do them or because I couldn't find whatever I needed to get the task done. My day of reckoning came when I had a baby. When Jesse was 3 weeks old, I decided it'd be a beautiful day to take her for a walk by the waterfront. When she got up from a nap, my husband went to get the car and I went to get the baby. And suddenly I realized, hey, I should probably take along a few supplies. What did I need? Let's see, diapers, a blanket, oh yes, a bottle of water, maybe a toy or two. I started running around the house gathering items. Every time I thought I was ready, I'd think of something else to bring. By the time I was packed up, more than 2 hours had passed, and Jesse had fallen back asleep. I realized at that moment that if I didn't get my act together, my child would never see the light of day. I decided to organize the diaper bag. I dumped out all the items I had gathered for the outing and began grouping them into categories that made sense to me. Things to keep her warm with, blanket, change of clothes, sweater, went in one group. Things to feed her with, water bottle, pacifier, went in another. Things to change her with, diapers, wipes, powder, went into another group. And finally, things to entertain her with, toys, a tape for the car. Then I assigned each category of items a particular section of the bag so that I could quickly get my hands on things when I needed them and know at a glance if anything was missing. I ended by tucking an inventory of all the supplies into a special pocket in the bag as well, as a tool to make restocking the bag easy. What a victory! From that day forward, I felt in control, packed and ready to go at the drop of a dime, confident that I had everything I needed at my fingertips. That diaper bag was the first thing I ever successfully organized. And though it sounds small, it was truly the beginning of my path to organization. After that, I tackled other areas of my house, my drawers, my closets, papers, and so on, always using the same basic approach I used to organize that diaper bag. The rest, as they say, is history. I had happily discovered that organizing is a very straightforward skill, learnable even by the likes of someone as hopelessly disorganized as me. Misconception 2. Getting organized is an overwhelming, hopeless chore. Fact. No matter what you're organizing, no matter how daunting the task or how huge the backlog, getting organized boils down to the same very simple, predictable process. Once mastered, you will discover organizing to be an incredibly cleansing and empowering process, an exhilarating way of freeing yourself up and maintaining a steady course in a complex world. You'll even consider it fun because it produces a gratifying sense of clarity, focus, and accomplishment. Misconception 3. It's impossible to stay organized. Fact. Organizing is sustainable if your system is built around the way you think and designed to grow and adapt with you as your life and work change. It is when your system is a poor fit for you that maintenance is a difficult chore. In addition, like eating well and staying fit, organizing is a way of life that requires monitoring and ongoing effort until it becomes satisfyingly ingrained. And finally, misconception 4. Organizing is a non-productive use of time. Fact. Life today moves more rapidly than it did 50 years ago, and will continue accelerating in the years ahead, presenting us with more opportunities and ever greater demands on our time and our ability to make choices. In an environment like this, those who are organized will thrive. Those who are disorganized will feel overwhelmed, unsure of which way to turn, and flounder. You can no longer afford not to be organized. Organizing has become a survival skill for the 21st century. Organizing from the outside in. My years as a professional organizer have taught me that most of us approach organizing from the wrong direction. When we are ready to get organized, it is usually because we have reached the breaking point. The clutter is driving us crazy and we want instant relief. Due to the accumulated stress of being disorganized, our knee-jerk reaction is to attack first, ask questions later, to just dive in and do whatever we can to gain control quickly. We don't spend any time analyzing the situation, and typically we do very little planning, basically putting the cart before the horse. We search madly outside ourselves for the answers to our predicament and grasp wildly at anything we think will save us from it. See if any of the following behaviors strike you as familiar. You go shopping for containers to get your clutter problem under control without having measured, counted, or examined what and how much you have to store. You go on impulsive purging sprees, ruthlessly getting rid of as much as you can to create a spare existence. Then discover too late that you tossed out something that was really important to you. You adopt organizing tips from friends, magazines, and books with no thought as to whether they mesh with your personality or fit your situation and needs. You tackle the bits and pieces of your organizing problem without ever looking at the big picture. You grab onto mantras like, reduce your possessions by 50%, or touch every piece of paper only once, or if you haven't used it in 2 years, get rid of it, in the hope that they will change your life forever. This leap-before-you-look approach is what I call organizing from the outside in. It fails to look at the big picture before seeking quick solutions, grabbing at all kinds of random tips and techniques. Don't get me wrong, using the clever tips, smart techniques, and snazzy containers on the market is a critical part of the organizing process, but there are several steps you need to go through first in order to know which ones are right for you. At best, this piecemeal approach creates an incomplete patchwork organizing system, leaving you with lots of holes. After buying a new container or implementing a new tip, you're excited by the novelty and experience a moment of hope, but this feeling soon wears off when the reality sinks in that information and objects are still falling through the cracks. At worst, organizing from the outside in fails time after time because it doesn't take into account how you think, relate to the world, pace yourself, like to operate, or your sense of visuals, the total picture of yourself that your organizing system should ultimately reflect. Organizing from the inside out. Organizing from the inside out means creating a system based on your specific personality, needs, and goals. It focuses on defining who you are and what is important to you as a person so that your system can be designed to reflect that. Successful organizing forces you to look at the big picture, not just one small section of the frame, so that the system you design will be complete. It is a nurturing process that helps you focus on discovering what is important to you and making that more accessible, rather than haranguing you to throw out as much as you can and organizing what's left over. Organizing from the inside out means taking a good look at the obstacles that are holding you back from being organized so you can identify and remove them once and for all. It means mastering strategies to speed up and simplify the organizing process, so you are sure to reach the finish line, not quit halfway there. And it means organizing before buying any fancy new storage units or snazzy containers, so that your purchases will have meaning and be a perfect match for your particular needs. Organizing from the inside out feels counterintuitive. It's not natural to stop and reflect when disorganization is at its peak. But if you invest a little time doing some thinking and analysis before you dive in and attack, you will be able to zero in on just the right solution for you. Easy as 1, 2, 3. Organizing from the inside out is a method that accommodates your personality, needs, situation, and goals, rather than forcing you to change. By following three straightforward but very important steps, you'll be able to meet any of life's organizing challenges and achieve lasting success. 1. Analyze. Step back to take stock of your current situation by defining where you are, where you are going, what's holding you back, and why it's important to get there. 2. Strategize. Create a plan of action for the physical transformation of your space, including a realistic schedule for making it happen. And 3. Attack. Methodically dive into the clutter, sorting and arranging items to reflect the way you think, making sure you see visible, dramatic results as you work. Equipped with your new view of organizing, you are about to embark on a great adventure that will lead you to enjoying the freedom of organized living forever. Throughout the rest of this audio program, I will be your guide, coach, and sounding board providing you with ideas and examples of other people's systems to help stimulate your own thinking. Now, let's get to it. What's holding you back? You can't fix it until you know what's broken. Whoever first said that neatly summed up one of the most fundamental principles of organizing from the inside out: understanding the cause before seeking a remedy. It's actually a pretty logical step. After all, isn't that how we approach all of life's problems? If you aren't feeling well, you go to your doctor and describe your symptoms. She knows your symptoms may be caused by a variety of conditions and illnesses. She asks you questions, examines you, and runs diagnostic tests to determine your illness. Only after this exploratory exam will treatment be prescribed. Otherwise, the medicine might only mask your illness, a dangerous situation which could lead to an escalation of your condition. The same is true of organizing. You need to identify the cause before seeking a solution. One of the most enlightening results of my work has been discovering that while many messes may look alike, their root causes are rarely the same. There are a lot of reasons for disorganization, and most people have no idea what the actual cause of their specific problem is. As a result, they spend a great deal of time, energy, and money addressing the wrong issue. Most people assume they are disorganized because they don't have enough storage space, or because they are inherently sloppy, lazy, or incompetent. But in a decade of organizing, I have never found either to be the case. 90% of my clients are not suffering from a lack of storage space, it's that they are not using their space well. And as for sloppiness or laziness, I've never found one case in all my years as a professional organizer where the clutter was caused by this. Besides, thinking this way inaccurately puts the blame on you and is clearly not the best mindset for achieving organizing success. There are many other explanations for why you don't put things away. Let's discuss those more fully right now. A three-level diagnostic. The actual causes of clutter occur on three levels. Level 1, technical errors. These are simple mechanical mistakes in your organizing system that can be easily fixed. Solving them is the equivalent of tightening a screw, changing a belt, or aligning the steering on a car. This is the first level of causes to review, because all messes can be attributed to at least one technical error. Level 2, external realities. Sometimes there are environmental realities beyond your control that limit how organized you can be. Recognizing them will save you from having unrealistic expectations of yourself. And level 3, psychological obstacles. For some people, there are hidden internal forces that make you gravitate toward disorganization no matter how much you crave control. And unless you are aware of them, they can lead you to sabotage any system you set up. Through awareness, you can find a way to work around these issues and achieve organizing success. Keep in mind that it is not uncommon to have several causes of clutter operating at once. Everyone struggling with disorganization suffers from at least one level 1 cause, but can also be suffering from some level 2 and 3 causes as well. As you listen to this audio program, be honest with yourself, not judgmental. There is no good or bad here. The point is that self-awareness is your most powerful tool in getting and staying organized. Only you can pinpoint what's holding you back. Remember, every issue is fixable. Level 1, technical errors. Start your cause analysis here, because once you've solved these 6 most common mistakes, you will be able to live in organizational bliss, unless there are some internal or external obstacles also at play. If so, fixing these errors first will expose them. Error number 1, items have no home. Simply put, things can't get put away if there's no place to put them. If items are piled all over the place, it is likely that you have never designated a particular spot for them. Life and interests change all the time, and you may have accumulated items for which you haven't yet found a proper place. You'd like to put them away, but you just don't know where. You're wary of shoving them into drawers and cabinets that are already full for fear of losing them. So you just leave items out and about, always in a different place, and you can never find what you need. The solution here is to take the time to evaluate what you have and assign each item a single, consistent home. This way, you'll always know where to put each item and still be able to find it easily when you need it. Error number 2, inconvenient storage. In this situation, you don't put things away because cleanup is too much of an ordeal. It could be that you're storing items too far from where you actually use them, across the hall, in another room, or at the opposite end of the house, requiring a big trip to put things away. Perhaps access to your storage units is hampered in some way. Maybe the drawers stick, the cabinets are broken, the closets are blocked by boxes or furniture, your storage bins are stacked too deep, or your shelves are too high to reach. The bottom line is, if it's too hard to put something away, you simply won't do it. Not because you're lazy, but because you have more important things to do with your time. The solution here is simple. You need to rearrange your storage to make it more convenient. Error number 3, more stuff than storage space. If all your drawers, cabinets, and closets are packed full, and you have additional stuff piled on the floor, countertops, tables, and windowsills, it's a safe bet that you have more possessions than places to put them. One solution is to reduce the number of your possessions by getting rid of any excess items. Another is to add storage units to accommodate your volume of belongings. And a third is to stretch storage by making better use of all that unused space between shelves, in extra deep drawers and cabinets, underhanging garments, and the vertical area on walls that's currently being wasted. Error number 4, complex, confusing system. It is quite common for people to set up impossibly complicated organizing systems. They over-categorize items and end up with too many places to look for things. For example, creating 100 folders with 2 sheets of paper in each, rather than 20 files with 10 sheets in each. Your system may have seemed sensible to you when you first set it up, but weeks or months later, you've forgotten the logic behind it. And when you go to find something in your drawers or cabinets, you feel baffled and frustrated. In this situation, you have created a system you don't trust, and before long you stop putting things away because you're afraid you'll never find them again. The key to designing a system you trust is to keep it simple, broad, and very visual. Error number 5, out of sight, out of mind. Many people leave things out as visual reminders of what they have to do. For example, a book that has to go back to the library, bills to be paid, or a coat that needs repair. This would be okay if there were only a few items strewn about. But once the volume builds, everything begins to blend into your environment, becoming a sort of visual muzak that renders all your visual reminders invisible, defeating their purpose. The solution here is to create a more reliable reminder system, which is usually in the form of a to-do list or planner. And finally, error number 6, organizing is boring. In this situation, you don't put things away because, quite frankly, cleanup is too dull a chore. You can think of a million more interesting, enjoyable, and profitable ways to spend your time. The problem is, very few people put much thought into the aesthetics of their organizing system. They view storage as purely utilitarian and buy any old container whether it appeals to them or not, saying, gee, no one will see this stuff but me. Who cares what it looks like? As a result, their organizing system is boring, ugly, and uninspiring to use. Organizing and putting things away is a repetitive task, but you can make it much more appealing and fun by adding a sense of personal style and flair. Don't underestimate the power of pizzazz. It can make a huge difference in whether or not you maintain your organizing systems. Now, let's move on in our discussion of the causes of clutter from level 1, technical errors, to level 2, external realities. We live in a complex, fast-changing world, one that presents challenges to all of us in our efforts to become organized. For the most part, we can usually overcome them, and at the very least, achieve a satisfying level of control. But there are times when no matter what we do, we can only get so far. Some external obstacle is putting a limit on how organized we can hope to be, unless we can find a way around it. To recognize if you have hit some external ceiling that's holding you back, answer true or false to the following 20 questions. If you can, take out a piece of paper to keep track of your answers. Answer true or false to the following. 1. When your company downsized, you inherited the workload of some of the employees who were let go. 2. Your company recently underwent a merger or a major procedure change. 3. You recently started your own business. 4. Your business is currently undergoing a major growth spurt. 5. You are a full-time working mom or dad taking care of an aging parent. If you answered true to questions 1 to 5, pay special attention to the description of external reality 1, unrealistic workload, and external reality 3, in transition, which immediately follow the rest of the questions. Now, back to some more questions. 6. You receive over 100 emails, voicemails, faxes, and memos per day. 7. You feel pressure to respond instantly to faxes and email. 8. You cannot keep up with the upgrades and changes in your computer system. 9. You suffer from constant interruptions at work. 10. You work in a deadline-driven business. 11. You work in a paper-intensive business. 12. You work in a global business operating 24 hours a day. If you answer true to questions 6 to 12, pay special attention to the section External Reality Number 2, Speed of Life, Technology. Here are some other questions to consider. 13. Your company just switched you from a private office to a shared workstation. 14. You are in the middle of a transition, such as changing careers, switching the focus of your business, getting married, divorcing, moving, or having a family. 15. Someone recently moved in to share your home or office. If you answered true to questions number 13 to 15, pay special attention to the section External Reality Number 3, In Transition. Here are a few more questions. 16. You have a highly disorganized boss who constantly interferes with your workday. 17. Your spouse, child, or roommate is a clutterbug who could care less about the mess. 18. Your employee organizes things completely differently than you and always disregards your system. If you answered true to questions number 16 to 18, pay special attention to the section External Reality Number 4, Uncooperative Partners. And here are the last two questions to consider. 19. You live in a tiny house with little or no storage space. 20. You work in a cramped office with little or no storage space. If you answered true to questions number 19 to 20, pay special attention to the section External Reality Number 5, Limited Space. Now, let's determine if you are struggling against a roadblock to organizing success that's not of your own making, and learn what options you may have for managing it. External Reality Number 1, Unrealistic Workload. Work overload, the result of downsizing and right-sizing, dual-income families and the boom in home-based businesses is a very real phenomenon these days. If you're trying to squeeze 80 hours of work into a 60-hour week, you may be suffering from an unrealistic workload. To get an accurate picture of how realistic or unrealistic your workload may be, track how you spend your time for a week or two. Take a piece of paper and divide it into two columns. In the left column, track each task you do get to as you do it and how long it takes to complete. In the right column, write down all the tasks you needed to do but couldn't get to, along with your best guess as to how much time they would have required. When you're finished, your log may reveal instances where you didn't make the best use of your time, as well as show you in black and white just how many hours of work are actually being expected of you. What to do about it depends on the situation. If you are a corporate employee, you may want to share your findings with your boss so that she or he can see the reality of your situation and brainstorm solutions with you. If you are a business owner, perhaps you can control growth or hire additional staff to help you. If you are working and caring full-time for your children, aging parents, or someone else, take a hard look at all those home chores to see if any are superfluous. Do you really have to scrub the floors every day? Maybe you can find ways of delegating responsibility for certain chores to other family members, or even consider hiring an outside service to do them. External reality number two, speed of life, technology. Because life today demands that we work smarter, move faster, and know more, surrounding us with so many opportunities, it's hard not to get caught up in the go, go, go frenzy of it all. The best response to this is to apply the brakes from time to time, to think before you jump and be willing to say no occasionally. Not possible? Think about it. Just because you can work 24 hours a day doesn't mean you should. Just because you are able to put your calendar on the computer doesn't mean you have to. Just because you received that fax or email a second ago doesn't mean you have to respond to it instantly. And just because there are 15,000 periodicals and 50,000 books published every year doesn't mean you're obligated to read even a fraction of them. Subscribe to the two or three periodicals that are the most valuable to you and let the rest go. Aim to read one or two books per month on carefully selected topics of interest. Perpetual motion, whether at work or at play, will eventually burn you out. Sure, information is available to you at every turn, but be realistic about how much you can actually process. Remember that technology is a tool. Each new tool costs you time and money to learn and to maintain. Think about that investment before buying every flashy new piece of software or electronic gizmo that comes out. Let the need drive the purchase, not the other way around. External reality number three, in transition. Every time we go through a major change, we experience a breakdown in our organizational systems. It's inevitable because we are dealing with a new set of realities, and it takes time to process the information and see clearly what we have to organize. Here are some common transitions: moving, marriage, new baby, starting school, graduating from school, retirement, illness or death of a loved one, job search, business merger, business growth spurt, and career change. When you're going through a transition, it may be best to wait until you have a clearer picture of your new priorities and needs before starting to organize, if you can tolerate the chaos a little longer. Or set up a temporary system with the understanding that it may change as you learn more about your new situation. External reality number four, uncooperative partners. There is nothing more frustrating than living or working with someone whose disorganized habits keep thwarting your own organizational efforts. It can happen with a boss, an employee, a roommate, or a family member. My advice is to confront the situation directly and try to motivate the person into cooperating with you by appealing to his or her own priorities, not yours. For example, if your disorganized boss is trying to achieve a certain sales level or an award for outstanding customer service, point out that by constantly interrupting you to help out with his or her latest crisis, those goals may never be met. Then offer to design a system that will alleviate the crises and be easy for your boss to maintain. In the case of an employee who refuses to follow your system, could it be that you're expecting the person to adhere to a system that you haven't adequately explained? Take the time to show exactly how you want things done and explain the importance of adhering to your system. Finally, if the source of your frustration is a roommate or family member, be sure your system is easy to understand and simple to maintain. Get them to identify the costs of the clutter to themselves. Ask if they ever feel frustrated when they misplace important items, waste money, run late, argue with you. Explore together why it's important to both of you that things go back to where they belong. And consider differentiating between shared spaces and private ones, and then get agreement from the person to at least keep the spaces you share in order. And finally, external reality number 5, limited space. A client, Sandra, asked me to organize her small apartment, which, as she put it, was bursting at the seams. A quick survey of the place revealed that she had done a remarkable job of maximizing her available space in a clever and aesthetically appealing way. There was no sense of clutter at all. First, I gave her the good news, that she had done such an extraordinary job making the best use of her space that I was ready to hire her for my team of professional organizers. Then I gave her the bad news. She had actually reached the storage limits of her environment. She had obviously pared her belongings down to just what she used and loved, and her only options now were to put things into off-site storage or move to a bigger apartment. It's important to recognize the difference between this external obstacle and technical error number 1, which was more stuff than storage space, because sometimes there really isn't any more room. How do you know if you have reached the absolute limits of your space? Here are the usual signs. First, you have no excess items in your home or office. You actually use everything you own. Also, you are very organized. Everything has a home, and you know where to find each and every item. And finally, you have made the most of every inch of your space by going vertical with bookshelves and cabinets, using furniture that stores, and using space savers and dividers to make the most of closets and drawers. If you fit these criteria and have run out of room, you have probably hit the limits of your space. Trying to store more things than is physically possible to contain will only lead to frustration. So far, we've discussed 2 levels of clutter. Level 1, technical errors, and level 2, external realities. Now, let's move on to our 3rd and final level. Level 3, psychological obstacles. For many people, gravitating toward and holding on to chaos may serve a hidden purpose. As much as you crave freedom from disorganization, there's a strong impulse inside pulling you back toward the mess. You keep making efforts to get organized, but never let yourself quite finish the job. Or worse, you do finish it, then notice yourself subtly sabotaging your own accomplishments and unraveling your system. To find out if you have some hidden investment in staying disorganized, answer yes or no to the following 21 questions. You could write down your responses so you can tally up your results at the end. 1. Does the idea of a spare, clutter-free environment make you feel anxious or uncomfortable? 2. Are you a highly visual person? 3. Do you habitually buy things in large quantities? 4. Does the prospect of getting rid of anything